Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Harry Palmer opens the next chapter of Office Wife.
I had a very unpleasant interview with my bank manager yesterday afternoon. You Lombard. In brief, it was to fix my overdraft or else. He was talking court orders and so forth. Definitely most unsociable. So I had to put the bite on Millie. The thrifty little dear had some money saved up, and after a struggle, she handed it over. But you see the position I'm in. This is only a temporary expediency. I need money, lots of it. Not only to pay bills, but to cultivate Marcia. My future wife. It was very considerate of Jeff to make a widow of her. Oh, but in one respect, I wish he was still alive. I worked out rather a neat scheme to help myself to the company's funds. But without Pilgrim around to take the blame for me... Oh, well, to work.
Yes, Harry?
Oh, there's a conference at Benny Puller's office, Mr. Fleming. Do you want me for anything before I go out?
I don't think so. I'll be tied up all the morning with Glover. But I'd like to see you when you get back.
Very well, sir. I'll contact you the moment I get in.
Right.
Hold the fort, Barbara. You know where to get hold of me if it's anything important.
Yes, but for the life of me, Glover, I don't see what you object to.
It's this new scheme, sir, whereby your account executives authorize payment of invoices and pass them straight through to accounts.
That's perfectly sound procedure, isn't it?
I don't think so.
But it saves a lot of unnecessary routine. It's a shortcut. That's why we instituted it.
Speaking purely as an accountant, sir, my objection is this. The system lays itself open to abuse.
How can it? Who's in a better position to check invoices than the chaps who actually handle the client's affairs?
It's not a matter of that. It's a matter of making your system absolutely foolproof.
Now, when have we made a major error in our payments?
There may have been none up to date, but payments could be made, false payments, and they wouldn't be by mistake.
Oh, really, Glover, I don't know what you're talking about. We have no scoundrels in this firm. Who'd want to tamper with our accounting system?
Tell me this, sir. Why does Mr. Bendigo carry insurance against embezzlement? Why is he protected against money lost through the dishonesty of any of his employees?
Well, of course, Glover, it's only good business to protect yourself.
Then I say protect yourself further. Scrap this invoice checking scheme.
You really think we should?
Most decidedly, sir.
Oh, well, I'd see what Mr. Bendigo has to say about it, but it does seem rather absurd. We make a new move, and then in a couple of weeks we turn round and go back to our old operation. Oh, dear me, Glover.
By the way, sir, whose idea was it in the first place?
That poor fellow who was drowned, Jeff Pilgrim. He came to me one day...
Pilgrim, eh? I had someone else in mind altogether. You're quite sure of that, Mr. Fleming?
Let me think now. Yes, Pilgrim did say to me the scheme had been originally broached by Harry Palmer, but, oh, what does that matter? If we're going to scrap it, what does it matter who thought of it first?
I'm merely curious, sir.
That's that. After our conference, you should be pretty pleased with yourself, Palmer.
Oh, I am. Well, listen, I thought you said I was going to be in hot water.
So you should have been over that shipment of machinery. Benny must be in a good mood.
Even Mr. Benjamin Puller knows I'm handling his affairs with my usual consummate skill.
Oh, such modesty.
Well, even Jeff Pilgrim couldn't have done better.
You have to mention him.
I'm so sorry, darling. What's the time, Stella? Come to lunch?
Who pays?
Oh, I might rake up the necessary pieces of it.
I thought you were going to concentrate on Marcia Pilgrim.
Ah, yes, the grief-stricken widow. Well, we don't want to rush things, do we?
You had better keep your lunch, Harry. I don't think I could bear you, today or any other day.
Oh, snap out of it. Pilgrim was never yours, and he probably never would have been. You can't carry a torch forever, Stan.
I don't want to talk about him.
Oh, by the way, about your parting crack the other day about Jeff being still alive, do you remember?
What about it?
Wasn't that what you'd call wishful thinking? I mean, it's, 5 days, 6 since he was drowned?
5 days and 19 hours.
Now, don't tell me you work it out to the minute.
Oh, shut up.
I do think you're being a little absurd. Why don't you forget the chap?
I told you to shut up about him. Can't you even keep your gloating to yourself?
Now, that's what I call a very unfeeling remark.
Oh, get out of my office.
Oh, tut, tut. And we used to be such good friends. No lunch?
No.
Oh, desolated, but I'll try to bear up. Oh, I say, before I go...
Well?
You don't still think Jeff Pilgrim's alive, do you?
What if I did?
Take a tip. Find yourself a new cove to pine after. Only this time make sure he's not already married. Well, do you know what'll happen to you?
Oh, I'm just dying to hear.
You'll finish up a nervous wreck, dear girl.
That'll be my worry.
Yes, but it's something I'd hate to see. So any time you feel like doffing the air of tragic gloom, just call me up.
That's really too sweet of you, Harry.
It breaks my heart to see you going about like Camille or someone.
The only thing that would ever break your heart, Palmer, would be for Jeff Pilgrim to walk into the Bendigo buildings one day. To take back his job and his wife.
How right you are, darling. But you have to admit, there's not much chance of me getting a broken heart that way. Is there?
No, you rotter. No chance at all. And don't you love it?
I didn't get away from Puller's till after one, sir, so I went straight to lunch.
Oh, that's all right, Harry. You needn't have come up to tell me that.
Yes, but you said on the intercom this morning that you wanted to see me when I got back.
Oh, yes, of course, of course. A few days ago, you made some mention of an increase in salary because you were handling the Puller account so well.
Yes, that's right, sir.
Well, I've had a talk to Mr. Bendigo, and he agrees that it's only fair. From the first of the month, you'll go up to $1,200 a year and bonuses.
Oh, that's splendid news, Mr. Fleming. Thank you very much, sir.
But you must understand, you'll only stay on the same basis as poor Pilgrim was, as long as you handle the Puller interests. If through any contingency the account were to be taken out of your hands, then you'd have to revert to your present salary.
But there's not much fear of that, sir.
Well, suppose, just suppose, mind you, that Jeff Pilgrim were to turn up.
Pilgrim turn up? Oh, but really, Mr. Fleming, you can't swim about in the sea for days on end. How could there possibly be any hope for Jeff Pilgrim?
Yes, you're quite right, Harry. Of course you are, but just so you wouldn't be too disappointed.
I understand, Mr. Fleming.
Well, good luck. You'd better take over Jeff's office, I suppose. Mind you don't drop any bricks on Benny Puller.
Oh, I shan't, sir. And thank you again, very much. I got it at last. Pilgrim turn up. Yes, that's something I must look into. Just how deep is the sea around Daybreak Island?
We've always been saying we'd have a spot together one evening, and this seemed as good a time as any, Palmer. Oh, and by the way, congratulations.
Thanks, lover. You mean the raise and definitely taking over the Puller account?
That's right.
Now, what do they say? It's an ill wind that blows no good.
Oh, here's Chad.
Cheers. Yes, though I have to admit, getting up in the firm on the strength of poor old Jeff will... Oh, well, it takes the shine off a bit.
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't let yourself feel too bad about it. It's not as though you weren't up to the job or anything like that. And I was only saying to Percy Fleming, that idea of yours, you know, the shortcut in getting invoices through to accounts, that was pretty good.
Oh, you think so?
Why, definitely. By the way, how did Pilgrim manage to grab the credit? It was your idea, wasn't it?
Well, yes, actually. As a matter of fact, I broached the matter to Jeff, and before I could say Tressa to Bendigo, he'd taken the idea straight to Fleming. I suppose I should shut up about it.
So that's how it happened.
Why? It's of no special significance, is it?
No, none whatsoever. Not to me. Why should it be? Come on, let's have another.
Pilgrim's office, Jeff Pilgrim's job, Jeff Pilgrim's salary. All you have to do now is marry his widow. And with your fatal charm, Palmer, boy, that should be almost too easy. You know, life isn't really bad at all. But what's Glover snooping about that invoice idea for? He is snooping. I'm certain of it. I wonder why.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.